To you. Lord, we need you this morning. We need you to speak to us. Lord, anoint your word and anoint our ears. We're totally dependent on you. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we need your speaking this morning. Oh, that your speaking would enliven us and enlighten us. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So, this time we are in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now, the first part of this chapter speaks about the coming of the day of the Lord. The last time I spoke on the rapture. And what is here in this first portion of the chapter is really concerning the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist. I'm sorry, but I don't have the burden to share on that. But I have a burden, maybe for years, that I will take the opportunity to share this morning. And this burden is a phrase, sanctification, salvation in sanctification of the Spirit. So that's what we want to see this morning. I realize this is not an easy portion. Why? Because we don't like, well, I wouldn't say we don't like sanctification, but we don't like how to get to sanctification, the things that we have to leave behind. So, in order to cover the rest of Thessalonians concerning this point, we will, as you see, we will start with 1 Thessalonians 3:13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Now, the establishing of the hearts of the saints blameless in holiness comes out of faith and love that is mentioned in the previous verses. When we are living in faith and love, we automatically, spontaneously have the hope of the Lord's coming back. We have that hope. Of our dear Lord, whom we love and in whom we believe. So, the establishing of our hearts blameless is actually comes out of faith and love. Then we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. I don't feel to speak on fornication. I think we all know that this is a terrible sin. But here we see this is the will of God. This is the will of God for us, our sanctification. So this is God's will for his redeemed people, for the believers in Christ, that we would have a life separated unto God. For this, he is sanctifying us holy in chapter 5, verse 23. Then verse 4, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. What is this talking about? Our own vessel. Actually, this refers to our body. How to preserve our body in sanctification and honor. Sanctification refers to being sanctified unto God, and honor refers to being in front of men. In front of men, we need to have honor concerning our body. And towards God, we need to have our body sanctified. So, how do we do this? Every member of our body must be preserved from anything that is sinful. For example, we should keep our eyes away from anything that's sinful. And that's difficult. You take a bus ride, you take a subway ride, you see a lot of things that are not so good. We also need to preserve our ears from hearing dirty things. And the thing is that today, our situation in this world is very negative. For instance, TV. You almost can't see TV without seeing terrible things. My wife and I, we don't see TV other than the news. But even the news, you will have the ads. You have sinful ads concerning the drugs that you need to take for your sicknesses and concerning cars. Things that have nothing to do, not related at all. How we need to exercise when we happen to watch TV. And then, what about people? People today speak about sinful things without feeling any shame at all. So we have to realize we're in the wrong place for our sanctification. But the Lord has put us here, and the Lord is able to do it if we cooperate with Him to keep our body from anything that would contaminate it. Today's world is full of contamination and defilement. It is very difficult to preserve our body. Wherever we go, there are defiling elements. Well, you may say, well, that's good for the young people, but we older ones, I'm an elderly person, and I can tell you, it's just as difficult to preserve our body in sanctification. Age doesn't help in this. As long as we have not had our body transfigured, we really need to exercise to preserve our body, which is actually more difficult than to preserve our soul, than to preserve our spirit, because of what we see, because of what we listen. So much can defile our body. Then we go to verse 7. In verse 7, for God has not called us for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Again, we have a repetition. And the Greek preposition translated for in this verse, epi, means upon, on condition of. We have not been called in uncleanness, only in sanctification. So we need to remain in sanctification. His calling is in sanctification. And then verse 8, consequently, he who rejects, rejects not man, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. The will of God, the call of God, and the Spirit of God are all for our sanctification. Especially the Spirit is working in us to sanctify us constantly. So I trust that the young people will be impressed with this warning of Paul. You may say, well, you know, in Thessalonica, it was a very evil city, full of sin, just like Corinth. I don't know. New York City, I don't think is any better. So how we need to exercise to preserve ourselves for the Lord. Actually, New York City may be worse than Thessalonica and Corinth. Then that brings us to chapter 5. Chapter 5, actually, we have a portion that really belongs together from verses 16 to 24. If you have your New Testament, maybe we can read it together from verse 16 to verse 24. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God, Christ Jesus. Do not despise prophecies, approve all things, fast to what is good, abstain from every kind of evil. The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. We need to be careful not to merely quote verse 24. Yes, God is faithful. Yes, he will do it. But for that, the Lord needs our cooperation. So we need to realize this. Actually, here in verse 23, Paul expressed his desire that God of peace would sanctify us wholly. Not only in heart, not only in body, but our whole being. Inwardly we have a heart, outwardly we have a body. The heart and the body are the main structure of a living, acting person. We act with our heart and our body. What about our spirit and soul? As far as the composition of our being, we have three parts: spirit, soul, and body. But as far as our acting, as far as our living, we have a heart and a body. Our daily living is a matter of our heart and our body. In chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, sanctification is a matter of our inner part, our heart. In chapter 4, sanctification is a matter of our outward part, our body. Now in chapter 5, as a conclusion of this portion, sanctification is of our whole being. Our psychological heart has three arteries. You know, our physical heart is really connected to the whole body by means of the arteries. So what are these three arteries? The three parts of our soul. We have our mind, will, and emotion. But the problem is, we have the same problem that people have with their physical heart. The arteries get clogged. Maybe because of cholesterol, maybe for other reasons. Well, the problem is our arteries are also clogged and they need to be cleared up that we could remove the blockage. How do you remove the blockage? We remove the blockage by confessing whatever the Lord exposes, whatever the Lord shows us, He does not agree with. So concerning our mind, we need to confess the sinfulness and uncleanness in our mind. How we need to be exercised in order that our mind is not full of sinful thoughts. Maybe not even our thoughts. The enemy can bring in sinful thoughts. But how we need to confess any sinful thoughts, that our mind could be cleansed. Anything sinful in our thoughts, in our way of thinking, we need to confess. As we're making confession about our sins in our mind, we also need to confess to the Lord how natural we are. I don't know about you, but if I'm not exercised, I'm so natural in my thinking. And the natural thinking is always the opposite of God's thinking. So if the Lord exposes any of these matters, we need to confess before the Lord. Now, what about our will? If we go to the Lord concerning our will, we will find out that we are rebellious. We're rebellious by nature. It's not that we want to be. Our human nature is that way. And we don't know what it means to be submissive to the Lord. Jesus is not only our Savior, He is our Lord. He needs to be our Lord in our daily living. So we need to confess the germs of rebellion. Then our emotion. The artery of the emotion. That's the worst one. We may have trouble confessing regarding our emotion. Why? Because our emotion is so natural. We like what we should hate, and we hate what we should love. So we really need to come to the Lord concerning our emotion. especially concerning our emotion. Our emotion need to love the Lord with the first love. And that would be such a help for us to exercise. Maybe we even may feel ashamed concerning our emotion because it may be even fleshly. So we need to take the time to unclog these three arteries. No one can do it for us. Only we can do it ourselves. So we need to go to the Lord and ask Him to show us whatever is wrong with us. And then when He shows us, we confess it. And if He gives us some medication, we take it. So concerning this portion, in verses 12 to 22, we see our cooperation. And in verses 23 and 24, the working of the life of God in us. So we need to realize this is the portion that goes together. Especially if you notice verse 23 starts with the word "and." So God desires to sanctify us wholly, to preserve us wholly. How is He going to do it? Well, He needs our cooperation. What is our cooperation? Always rejoice. Unceasingly pray. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies in the church meetings. But prove all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every kind of evil. If we do this, the Lord will sanctify us wholly. The Lord will take care of us. And then this brings us finally to 2 Thessalonians verse 13. But we ought to thank God always concerning you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So, the salvation to which we were chosen by God is a salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth, of course, speaks of faith. So here we're talking about sanctification, salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and in faith. So God is sanctifying us by transforming us. He's working in us. And of course, this process may not be enjoyable. Nobody likes to be transformed, because for us to be transformed is to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, and our image has to be taken away. We have to come to zero, and the Lord has to come to 100. So that's why we may not like it. So we see here that salvation is not a simple matter, neither is sanctification. The natural understanding of salvation is Christ died for us, we receive Him, He comes into our spirit and period. But here we see that our salvation is in sanctification. Now, what does that mean? That means that the more we're sanctified, the more we're saved. If we're less sanctified, we're saved less. Now, of course, you may say, oh, where are you in your salvation? Who knows? Nobody knows. Only God knows. Although we were fallen sinners, God came and died for us after living a perfect human life so that we could be redeemed. And when we are redeemed, we are regenerated. We receive the life of God. Saints, this is so wonderful. We have the life of God in us. Now, the point is that although we don't know where we are in this matter of salvation, one thing is for sure, we will never, never, ever lose our salvation. Another thing is for sure, we will never, ever lose our receiving the life of God, our regeneration. We're regenerated for eternity. We're redeemed for eternity. Well, we could use an illustration. You have to pardon me that I'm a very poor artist. But we could say that salvation is a bridge. And this bridge starts in regeneration. And ends in glorification. So, this covers from time all the way to eternity. So, nobody knows where we are on this bridge of salvation. Well, maybe yesterday, we had gone more forward in the bridge of salvation than today. Why? Well, maybe we lost our temper with our husband or with our wife. So, assuming we were here, we go back here. So here we're not talking about sins. We're talking about lack of sanctification. So, suppose that a friend, an old-time friend of ours visits us. And he invites us to some worldly entertainment. Well, what happens if we say yes? We go back some more. But, what happens if we say no? Suppose we say no. And not only we say no, which is kind of negative, we preach the gospel to him, and we encourage him to believe and to be a Christian. Oh, then we go here. See the point? Salvation is according to our sanctification. How much we're saved is how much we're sanctified. Well, you know, this is very hard for young people. Suppose a young brother is tired of so many meetings. In some places, some churches, maybe you have a meeting every day, or at least several times a week. So he decides, nah, I'm not going to the meeting. I'm going to watch a movie. So what happens? Again, he goes back, right? But suppose this young man has a morning watch in which he touches the Word with his spirit, in which he responds to the speaking of the Lord. He confesses his sins, his failures. What happens? Goes here. See the point? But in the meantime, if he goes to the movies, and then he comes to a meeting, he's going to feel somewhat dead. Why? Because he has lost some sanctification. Well, I don't know how you feel about this. I realize the Bible doesn't have this doctrine of going backwards and forwards. But in our experience, we do know. In our experience, we do realize when we do things that displease the Lord, there is the deadness. On the other hand, when we please the Lord, there is the life. So actually, we go on in this bridge of salvation, back and forth. Nobody moves forward, but we all go back and forth. But the point is that we may move forward. That we may move forward in the bridge of salvation. So, this is a matter we need to consider. We need to realize this is concerning our daily living. This is concerning our human situation. I realize we don't like the matter of sanctification, but the point is that actually we were saved in sanctification. So God expects us to be sanctified, right? What did First Peter say? Be holy because I am holy. That's God's point of view. So we need to be in the same page with the Lord. So how we need to be those who experience the Lord in a daily way concerning our sanctification. Concerning, oh, every day we make lots of decisions. How do we make those decisions? We go automatic pilot, or we say, Lord, what do you think about this? If we ask the Lord, it's not merely being a good Christian, it's honoring the Lord Jesus as our Lord. You know, when we call on the Lord, we say, oh, Lord Jesus. We need to remember, Lord Jesus. So, the way to be those who are being sanctified, the way to be sanctified is to include the Lord in our daily living, in our decisions. He should have a part in our decisions. Actually, it is not that difficult to ask the Lord. You know, the Lord is so faithful. If we ask Him, He will answer. If you ask Him how He feels about something, He will tell us. It's not that we have to pray on our knees for a week and then He will say something. No. The Lord is also so practical in His faithfulness. So He really, you know, God is our Father. And the Father wants the children to go on, to really do well. So the problem is not with God, the problem is with us. How I pray that all of us could really experience the Lord in our daily living. So then this brings us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But according to the Holy One who called you, you yourselves also be holy in all your manner of life. This is a little more specific. Be holy in all your manner of life. The Holy One is the Triune God, the choosing Father, the redeeming Son, and the sanctifying Spirit. This is the Triune God working in us. The Father has regenerated His elect, imparting His holy nature and into them. The Son has redeemed us with His blood from the vain manner of life in verses 18 and 19. And the Spirit has sanctified us according to the Father's holy nature. The Father has a holy nature, and we have this holy nature. Actually, the holy nature of the Father is the base for us to be sanctified. If we didn't have the Father's holy nature, there's no way we could be sanctified. We become holy in all our manner of life through the sanctifying of the Spirit, through the sanctification of the Spirit. This is based also in regeneration. We have the life of God. Then because we have the life of God, we can be sanctified. All right, so what is sanctification? We may say sanctification is not something superficial. Sanctification is not the way we dress. It's not whether the sisters wear makeup or not. Sanctification is not that superficial. That concept of holiness is too outward. Our being, our disposition, our entire person should become holy. In other words, like it says in the verse here, we should be holy in all our manner of life. But I would like to ask something. Rather than say it, I would ask that you consider yourself. If we are sanctified in our manner of life, which means our whole being is sanctified, Shouldn't there be an expression? You know, man was created in God's image to express the Lord. Now, of course, dress is something superficial. Dress is a small thing. But if we are sanctified, our person should express the Lord. Now you say, if a dear sister who loves the Lord, who cares for the Lord, wears a short dress in the meeting, again, this is superficial, this is not a big issue, but this would distract the brothers. And how can we say, that we're wholly sanctified if our dress is not sanctified? Actually, one time we had a sister from a denomination visit us, and she only came once. And as she was leaving, she said, "Oh, I'm not coming again here because of the way the sisters dress." So this is a small thing, but in spite of being small, we need to realize it refers to the bridge of salvation. If we don't dress properly, we go back in our sanctification. So this is the issue. You know, if you bring it up in any other relation, the young people would say, "You're too old. You're too old-fashioned. We're on the 21st century." But the issue is not that. It's sanctification. So I hope the young people would realize this. It's not that we are square. That it's not that we're beyond our times, but that this is one of the things that would hinder us in our being sanctified. So concerning sanctification, we have three items. First, the Father has imparted His holy nature into us. And this is what it makes possible for us to have a life that expresses the Holy God. Second, concerning the holy manner of life, the Holy Spirit is doing a sanctifying work within us. When the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, He makes us holy. Third, because we're often disobedient, the Lord gives us a discipline. For this reason, Hebrews 12:10 encourages us to God the Father disciplines us, that we would be willing to take His discipline for what? So that we can partake of His holiness. So, to have a holy manner of life, we need three things. The life of the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit, and the discipline of God. Because God wants us to be like Him, to be sanctified. So, then that brings us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. In verse 13, it speaks about salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And verse 14 says, "To which also He called you through our gospel unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, in eternity, God chose us unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Then in time he called us unto the obtaining of what? Of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. While you may say, well, we're not glorified, only when the Lord comes we will be transfigured. Whenever we express the Lord, there's glory, His glory. So we need to realize here that actually sanctification and belief of the truth are the procedure, and the goal is the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we could be those who express the Lord, who are able to have a little bit of glory, of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is wonderful. To obtain the Lord's glory means that we're in the same position as the Lord is. You may say that's impossible. It's not impossible, because we have the divine life in us. And then we come to verse 15. Verse 15 says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the things which were handed down to you and which you were taught, whether by word or by our letter. So the point here is we need to stand firm in the Lord. And how do we do that? We do that by holding on to the things that were handed down to us. We cannot deny that in the Lord's recovery, we have His speaking, we have His teaching, and we have His instruction. Therefore, Paul urges us that we would be those who would stand firm and hold on to what we have received of the Lord. Pay heed to all the speaking, teaching, and instruction we have received. Then verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope in grace. This verse is very positive. It's very sweet. According to this verse, we don't have temporary comfort. We have eternal comfort. This eternal comfort is by the divine life. The eternal comfort by the divine life can take care of any situation that we may be in. So whenever we're disappointed, we need to be reminded that we have the divine life in us. And this divine life is an eternal comfort. And because it's the eternal life, this eternal comfort is good hope in grace. And this grace is the triune God Himself. So we thank the Lord that we have the eternal comfort and the good hope in grace. This hope, of course, is the hope of the Lord's coming. When the Lord comes, He will transfigure our body, that Peter calls the body of our humiliation. And as you get older, the body wears down, and it's not so easy. But one day, our body will be transfigured. So this is the good hope in grace. And then finally, verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and God and word. God wants to comfort our hearts, but I feel somehow we need to be to comfort ourselves. You know, if we are focused on negative things, it's hard for the Lord to comfort us. So we need to comfort ourselves, then the Lord will comfort us. As we do our part, the Lord will do his part. So saints, we thank the Lord that we have been called in sanctification of the Spirit. And this is for us to be able to have the glory of the Son of God. So now we will pray, and the Chinese-speaking saints and the Spanish-speaking saints will go to their rooms to prophesy, and the English-speaking saints and the Korean-speaking saints will remain here. Let's pray.